Welcome to Comics.
Episode 218. This week, we talk about
The Tick live action series.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics.
And now, the cast begins.
I've been listening to, I was just listening to our buddy Mitch's magic podcast, Magic the Chattering, and I was like, man, I'm going to go to David's to play magic this weekend, and I don't want to like pack up three or four of those like fat pack boxes that carry like three commander decks. I really wish I could have just like one nice size box that could carry like four to six commander decks and have room for a little bit of dice. Or dice bag. And like, I can just close up the box and the box like has a handle and I can pick it up and carry it in the box and it won't like jumble and get fucked up.
Don't get the holiday gift box.
So I've noticed.
It's a piece of shit.
That looks like what I want.
It's really flimsy and it doesn't really close. I mean, it closes, but you know, it doesn't like lock into place or anything.
Yeah. The closest I've been able to find to what I'm looking for is just like a metal briefcasey looking thing that opens and closes to like the like stat like foam, and then the foam is cut out and you can put in like ultra pro deck boxes in there, and like that you could put the deck boxes in there, they'd be secure, they wouldn't flop around, and you could ostensibly put in a box that has just your dice in it, but I don't know.
I have no answer. I mean, I'm a woman, so I carry a purse. So I would just take, like, you know, the long cardboard boxes and put it in there.
Yeah. I mean, the easy thing is just grab, like, a backpack or, like, a carrying bag or a man purse. But, like, I don't want to carry, like, then I have boxes in a bag and then I'm jumbling boxes in and out of this bag.
Yeah, I mean, what Grant does is he takes one of those cheapo, like cardboard boxes, and then he just like puts several decks in there.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, yeah, it's just, ugly. Like,
I want something I can have sitting on my shelf, and then when I go over to David's, just grab it off the shelf and go, and I have to like take it in and out of my bag every time I go somewhere. It's such a small, stupid little thing that's not really important, because how often do I go and play Magic? Answer is almost never.
Well, I backed this Kickstarter campaign where they made a deck box that looks like a book, mm-hmm. and it has like a magnet that locks into place, and it's made of wood, and it's like lined with velvet on the inside, and you can buy different size ones to fit different amounts of cards, but they're not cheap, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can find.
I also get over the fact that I kind of want it to be wooden. I like wood.
Yeah, that's like hard. Like looking at the Ultra Pro ones, which are pretty standard, they are ugly.
Yeah, they are.
Have you tried like looking at stuff from the Container Store?
No, I haven't. That's a good idea. I should go.
They always have like weird shit. Also, Muji in downtown San Jose.
Oh yeah, that's might a really have good something. Idea. I'm taking public transit tomorrow. I'll have to swing by there.
So I sent you a link on Etsy. This I backed this guy's Kickstarter.
And this Rimroar is what our deck box alpha edition. Ooh, that looks pretty slick.
It has like a little latch or something. Or he has a different one that has a latch. Oh, the third edition one has a latch on it.
Oh yeah, there it is. That's pretty neat.
Not That's cheap.
Fancy. Not cheap, but it looks nice.
So I mean, mine will come. My Kickstarter rewards will come, like, I think next month. Oh, no, this is June, right? So probably sometime this month. And I got the level that I backed at, I'm going to end up with two different ones. One smaller one. Cause they have like the Pro Tour, Grimoire Pro Tour or something. And that one is smaller. Okay. I think the Pro Tour was the, maybe the Pro Tour was the Kickstarter. And then the way that I backed it, I'm going to get one of the big ones too. Let me see.
And that should come next month, you're saying?
Well, I think he said June, but you know, these things never come on time.
Yeah, it's Kickstarter.
Yeah.
I mean,
only once have I gotten it when the person, like, said it would come.
Yeah. The only one I've ever seen that's reliable with Kickstarter delivery times is my boy, Jimmy Palmiotti. he's crazy on Kickstarter. He does, like, a couple projects a year, and they're all pretty awesome. Yeah, next month I also have something I pre-ordered coming, and I am super excited for it since my wife is pregnant. By the way, listeners, if you didn't know, my wife is pregnant. We're due in like December. Oh, I gotta stop saying that. I'm making a concerted effort to not say things like we're pregnant and we're due, because I'm not carrying the baby, and I think people who say we're pregnant take away from the task of the woman. Like, what she's doing is insane.
I mean, but you helped.
Yeah, I helped, and I had the most fun part, so I don't really feel like I should take that much credit. Anyway,
Oh, trust me, Andy. Once December hits, you're going to be doing your part for the rest of your life.
Right, but that's not us being pregnant. We are not pregnant. At that point, we have a child, and that's totally different than us being pregnant. It's a pet peeve of mine, and I have no rationalization why it peeves me so much, but it does when I hear people say that.
No, anyway. I get it. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, anyway, what I was gonna say is, I know that when I have a kid, we're gonna have a lot less free money. And so a couple months back, I pre-ordered something, and they were like, hey, pre-order's up, you wanna pay? You still want it? And I was like, yeah, I do. So next month, I should be getting a 2-foot tall statue of Liara.
That's awesome.
I have no idea where I'm gonna put this fucking
thing. Is that the character from,
from Mass Effect, yeah.
Yeah.
The woman with the head tails, of course.
Yes.
Anyway, the sculpt looks insane balls, and I have no idea where to put it, and I just was like, you know, I'm not gonna have money for shit like this for years. So,
actually, I got something that I pre-ordered today.
Oh yeah?
It was not through a Kickstarter, but, whatchamacallit? When we were at Star Wars Celebration, I pre-ordered a jacket.
Oh, yeah, that Ezra jacket?
I guess it's Ezra. It's a Star Wars Rebels jacket, and I got it today, and it's pretty slick.
Awesome. That was a nice jacket.
And it's got a cool, Celebration Anaheim patch on it, and
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's fucking awesome.
I was really scared that I wasn't going to get it, because when they gave me my receipt, they had written my zip code down wrong.
Oh, yeah. That's
so it was the correct address, but the zip code was for some place. It was a zip code in, like, New Mexico. And so I was really worried, and I was, like, sending all these emails to ReadPop. And I think I bothered them enough because, like, their merchandising manager got back to me. And he set it straight, and so I got it today.
Awesome.
That's
cool. But, yeah. So, you know, people make mistakes. I'm not upset that the person, the cashier, made a mistake because it was resolved.
Yeah.
And Reed Pop's customer service, although it was kind of slow because the people who handled it, like, apparently right after Star Wars Celebration, they, like, immediately went to another convention somewhere else. And so it took a while for them to get back to me, but, you know, once I got in touch with the right person, they took care of it immediately. And so, you know, I applaud ReadPop for taking care of me. So, you know, I will definitely go to more of their conventions in the future.
Yeah, I gotta say, they were great with Celebration. It was a really well-done convention, like beginning to end.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a much more impressive experience in terms of management than San Diego Comic-Con.
For sure. I totally agree with that. And, you know, and now they made a mistake. Actually, I don't know. Maybe I made the mistake. Maybe I wrote the zip code down wrong, or the guy just couldn't read my handwriting or something. Or, you know, he switched a 2 and a 5, and on a 10 key, those things are right next to each other, so.
Yeah, it's true.
But whatever the cause was is irrelevant because they fixed it quickly and, well, maybe not as quickly. Like I said, it took a while to get back to me, but, they fixed it immediately once I talked to the right person, and I'm very happy with their customer service. So kudos to you, Reed Pop people who are listening, because I know you are.
Hey, you don't know. There might be.
Yeah. And, you know, I made sure to send back when I did my survey for Star Wars Celebration, because they sent like a survey.
Yeah.
You know, I made sure to give them kudos because, like you said, Andy, it was a really well-run convention.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, I liked it better in San Diego. Like San Diego Comic-Con is an insane thing top to bottom. And I'm sure logistically and organizationally, it's a friggin' madhouse mess. But I feel like Celebration is also massive and Celebration was handled really, really well. So, yeah, like, I've been kind of contemplating going up to, Seattle for Emerald City Comic Con, and Reed Pop just bought that, so now I'm considering it even more.
Yeah, that's actually my number one choice of cons to travel to next is Emerald City, because I really love the Seattle area.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And, it's supposed to be a really good convention. So
what is it?
I think it's in April. I actually have no idea.
Let me look at Emerald City Comic Con.
One of the people I know through the Mandalorian. Yeah.
April 7th to 10th, yep.
Yeah, somebody I know through the Mandalorian Mercs was talking about going to the next. He is going, and he was seeing if he'd get any of the other Mercs to go to.
Oh, cool. That is one that I've wanted to go to for a long time because a lot of my favorite webcomic artists attend it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should all go as a
party. That'd be awesome.
Ooh. My child will only be 4 months old.
Mine will turn 2. The younger one will turn 2 during that weekend.
Our wives will they'll be fine with us leaving for a weekend.
Yeah, totally. They won't care, right?
During a birthday.
My wife would probably want to go.
Yeah, my wife would want
to
go too.
Some way to, like, not bring the kids. Your grandparents, enjoy your weekend.
Do you think your grandparents want to look after my kid too?
Maybe.
All right.
You have a sister-in-law nearby.
Yeah, that's right. I do. Yeah, I can dump it on the in-laws too.
Yeah. There you go.
That's true. Good looking out. Well, you guys
we're
ready?
We're like all a team, so I gotta help you out here.
Yeah.
Jen, when you have a child, I will solve problems for you too.
Woohoo!
If you choose to have a child. Yes, you guys ready to talk about this week's show?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm ready to talk about the topic of this show.
I don't know if I can ever be ready.
This week's comic.
So this week we watched The Tick, the live action show, the episode Arthur Interrupted. And this was episode 8 of the series. I usually say what season, but this is only one season and only went 9 episodes. So this was the penultimate episode. And this was... Okay. When I was watching this, like 3 minutes in, I decided that the Tick and his like antenna were a perfect metaphor for the entire show. Like they're entertaining and funny, but also insanely awkward every time they move. Like, this whole thing felt funny and really weird.
Yeah. Because
it's kind of creepy, you know? Like, what are the antenna doing?
Yeah.
What do they represent?
What is he doing?
And these, like, I don't know, these costumes are way, they're too, I don't know, they're too plasticky. I know, it's all just spandex anyway. Maybe.
But I mean, it's not. Like, Patrick Warburton's is like, you know, the suit is like, very well defined.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's unnatural, but I mean, it's a comic character, right?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite, like one of the things that made me laugh constantly was every time Batman Well came on the screen, I just saw the guy from Lost.
who this is very much not.
But you know who I'm talking about, right? Is what is his name? Richard.
Yeah. Richard. Is it Richard? It's Richard, right?
I don't know.
The swabby dude.
The eyeliner guy.
Never seen Lost.
Like, you've been not?
Not one episode, no.
Yeah, he's the guy in Lost. He's the eyeliner guy in Lost.
David, okay. The eyeliner guy, yeah. David can loan you the entire
Richard,
run. Oh,
Richard Alpert.
Yes, that's right.
So he, like, everybody called him, like, if you were a Lost fan and you would see, like, discussions online about it, everyone called him the eyeliner guy.
Because he wore a shit ton of eyeliner. Yeah. Well, actually, you know what? Batman Well. Okay. Awesome name, by the way. I think, okay. I just thought of a new, cause Batman Well, instead of having a mask, has like, he's painted on where his mask would be, I guess. I don't know, but it's just like face paint. I feel like these costumes are more accurate to how people who are kind of lazy would make their superhero costumes. Like, if you watch Arrow and Flash, that shit's like professional, made by scientists and warriors, and it's armor. And this stuff in the Tick is stuff people would wear if, like, David and I made a superhero costume.
Thanks.
Like, no, I'm just kidding. No, like, hey, we could throw some cosplay together, sure. It looks like they're cosplaying characters, not that they actually are these heroes.
I feel like Arthur and Batman Well are pretty much cosplaying.
Yeah.
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 But the Tick is like, I don't think he takes that thing off.
No, I don't think he does. Captain, no. Lives in it.
Captain Liberty, I think she's like a, you know, she's like a government agent or something to a certain degree, so she, hers is a little bit more legit, I guess. But I mean, hers looks kind of, you know.
Like, that's the thing. Kooky. She is wearing, like, what a superhero would wear, except what superheroes wear never looks as, like, tight or form-fitting in real life, right? Yeah. Because, you know, like, leather can't be that tight and still get on you. Stuff like that. Yeah. Hers looks good, though.
I mean, in comics, they basically draw a naked dude and a naked woman and then cover it with ink. But they don't, like, draw on the way a uniform would shape to that person. They just draw, like, naked dude, and then color the abs red, and you have the Flash.
Well, I don't think it's ever really that tight. He needs to be as aerodynamic as possible. So. And well, I mean, that's a recent thing. If you look at, like, Golden Age Superman or something, he's basically like a trapezoid shape. You know what I mean? He's not really like,
well, yeah, naked, even guy. Look at like just older style costumes. Like, look at the JSA. Look at like Alan Scott. He's not super spandexy. Jay Garrick's basically wearing jeans and a t-shirt, like skinny jeans, but jeans and a t-shirt. You know,
there's nothing wrong with skinny jeans if you could pull it off.
Yeah, and just, he did it before it was cool, is all.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, back to the Tick. I gotta say, having not been initiated to the Tick as a cartoon, I think I preferred this over the cartoon.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. It was awkward, but it made me laugh more often. I think because of the awkwardness.
Huh. So you also found it awkward.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's totally awkward.
Okay. It was weird for me because I like, full disclosure, I am not a sitcom person. I've watched one sitcom through the whole way, and that's Friends. I couldn't finish How I Met Your Mother. I got irritated, like, in the last season. So just, like, I'm not a sitcom person. I tend to find them too awkward to enjoy them.
Mm-hmm.
And I did find this funny. Like, I certainly laughed. But at the same time, I spent a lot of time, like, face-palming. Like, actually, with my face on my hand, like, going, oh, God. And this is the thing. For me, it's hard to watch these kinds of shows because they're so awkward. And I'm just, like, I can't handle it. I can't handle other people's embarrassment and social awkwardness like that.
I'm like you. I'm not a huge sitcom fan. The only sitcom I really love and like consistently watch is, I mean, people are going to say, oh, that's cliche. It's Seinfeld. I really think Seinfeld is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But most other sitcoms, I have trouble with. The ones that are like completely stupid and off the wall, I seem to do okay with, like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia or The League. But the stuff that you see that plays on like network television, I just can't get into it. I don't think it's, I think awkward's the way to put it, because I was going to say they're not funny, but sometimes they are funny, but just not funny consistent enough or in the right ways to hold my attention, except for Seinfeld.
Yeah.
I agree on Seinfeld.
Well, out of all the ones that you two just mentioned, I am not a fan of any of them.
Have you tried watching like The League or Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Yeah, I tried watching The League because I play the crap out of fantasy sports. And, like, it's just, I don't know. Most of it's just not funny. I'm not down with the vulgar humor too much. Not because I'm pretentious. I just, like, that's not really funny. You're just being vulgar. I'm not gonna laugh at it the way a 6-year-old giggles when they hear the word fuck.
Like, oh, man. That's a...
like,
You should not try watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Well, this is the thing. I did try watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and the first season I found mildly entertaining. And then when Danny DeVito came on, I was like, oh, this just went down the tubes.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I feel like the show improved when he joined.
No, when he got on and the tone changed, I was just like, this is horrendous.
The tone didn't really change.
Yeah, it totally did.
So you've never seen the Who Pooped in the Bed episode?
No.
There's an entire episode where they have to try to solve who pooped in the bed. Because Charlie and Frank, who's Danny DeVito's character, sleep in the same bed, and one of them poops in the bed, and that's the entirety of the episode, is trying to solve who pooped the bed.
Yeah.
But they make it like Clue, so there's a part where somebody, like there's like a lightning strike and the lights go dim in the room, and when the lights come back up, there's another turd on the floor.
Yeah, see, fuck all those people. I wouldn't be friends with any of them after that.
Well, like, they're all horrible.
I don't understand the premise of the show fundamentally. Like, if somebody shits on my bed, they are no longer my friend, and there's no episode there.
See, my wife is like that. She hates those, that I like those. She doesn't hate that I like them, but she hates those shows. Like, she does not want to see Always Sunny in Philadelphia or The League because they're so vulgar.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess that's where I need to get my 6-year-old humor is from watching those shows. So.
Here's the thing about sitcoms, though. Like, watching people, like, I don't mind vulgar humor. What you described, David, I actually found kind of funny.
It's a good episode.
But, like, what gets me is when people are in very awkward, stupid situations that could easily be solved, and then they just flail around like morons or act even more awkward and can't solve it. And, like, for instance, like stuff like Parks and Rec or 30 Rock, where it's just about these, like, neurotic women who are really awkward. I hate those shows. Like, I'm just like, shut up and stop whining. Act like normal people. And that's the thing about sitcoms, like, definitionally, they're situational comedies, so you have to put people in situations that are, like, awkward or strange and see how they interact. The thing with The Tick, which makes me think the sitcom premise is really different? Strange? I don't know. Is that The Tick and Arthur are by nature in really strange situations, right? Mm-hmm. Because, like, what they... They have to fight a dude who has a chair for a head, and there's one where, like, they fight an archaeologist or something, like, named Dinosaur Neil, and he becomes a giant dinosaur. I don't know if that happens in the live action, but it's, right, it's, they're already in situations that are comedic, so taking that and then putting it into the sitcom genre and, like, with the tropes, it's strange to me that they would do that, right? Because what extra situations do you need? And I think that kind of leads to the whole, like, Arthur getting institutionalized thing, right? They had to make I wouldn't say normal person situation, but some kind of situation that was, I don't know, socially weird as opposed to, like, just factually weird.
See, and I think that's probably why I found this more entertaining. definitely more entertaining than most sitcoms is because this takes, like, the situation isn't necessarily the root of the comedy. The root of the comedy here is the fact that these kinds of people are in these situations. Like we were saying a while ago, and we bring it up every once in a while, like, our favorite pictures of people cosplaying are people cosplaying doing normal things. Like, one of my favorite cosplay pictures ever is somebody dressed up as Garrus from Mass Effect reading a how-to dummy book on calibrations.
That's like, awesome.
It's great. Like, what was it? Yeah, calibration for dummies. And he's just in the library as Garrus. And the book's obviously Photoshopped, but it's funny. And so for me, this show, what makes it funny, like, the tick arguing with the toilet is just a shtick. But it's a shtick that I can relate to. Like, I'm trying to build a network-attached storage computer, and I'm having a hard time with it, and I'm sitting there yelling at it, and when I mash the buttons as I yell at it, it beeps back at me. And, like, from an outside perspective, like, my wife would make the same comment Arthur made, which is, you can't have a conversation with an inanimate object. But then it comes back around and becomes a funny situation when Arthur's sitting next to the toilet in his padded room and he hears the tick and thinks it's coming from the toilet. Like, they're communicating via toilet.
Yeah, and that actually, that was funny, right? I feel like the sitcom-y thing, if we had to, like, look for, I don't know, the genre in here, would be the sister and the mom.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the thing, like, they and their interactions with the tick made me feel so painfully awkward.
Yeah.
That was my moment of, like, why are you doing this?
But that was when I laughed the most, was that dinner table conversation.
Oh,
or that
no.
Diner table conversation.
It,
where
for
the
me,
tick
I
is just fucking up left and right.
That one felt like they were pushing the metaphor way too hard, right, for being gay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
they come
good.
In.
So I'm not the only one that kind of thought this whole thing is an allegory for coming out of the closet, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, the mom's like, oh, is this one of those places? And then Dot can't handle his lifestyle, and she wants to know what she's supposed to tell her children. It was just too in your face. I don't know. It made me cringe a little.
Yeah, and then they were talking about how, like, they sent him to one of those places where they teach you not to be that way. Like, they use those certain phrases like be that way and lifestyle. That it's kind of clear that they're talking about being gay, but not overtly so. I mean, more, it's pretty overt. I don't know.
Sorry.
I kind of like that because it's a stark contrast to where the comic was just a couple of years before. It's good because when we were reading the comic, there were those couple of panels where the Tick and Arthur were having that conversation of, whoa, not like that, bro. No, no, definitely not, bro. Let's go have some beers and be manly. Like, that, we talked at length a couple episodes ago how that was a weird joke that didn't hold up very well. And now we can safely say that Ben Edlund is not homophobic. And it was just trying to make a joke that didn't age.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I don't think there was any malice intended in either, like, that joke in the first comic or in this episode. But I gotta say, like, the whole premise when you look at it and what it's a metaphor for, and then the fact that it's just resolved with them breaking out Arthur and then, like, basically telling the mom and Dot that what they did was wrong, but Dot's still, like, on the fence about it, is kind of horrifying when you think about, like, the fact that people actually do send other people to gay rehabilitation. I don't know. Like, there's something about it that just, like, I was like, ooh.
it was a little bit, like, premature of a resolution, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't just, I don't know, maybe just the topic I felt was too, I don't know. I don't even know what to say because I usually really enjoy a really light handling of sensitive topics, right? Like,
it was
I like
too,
mockery.
It was a little too on point with the Tick's costume.
Yeah, it was.
And the antennae.
Like antenna, oh god.
Hey boy.
There was something just a little too off about this. I don't know.
I don't know. I genuinely, of the three things we've done for this, I think I like this the most. And I don't have a good reason.
It's just the one you found the most enjoyable, right? That's
fine.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was
I'm wrong,
funny.
Obviously, but.
Yeah, you're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah.
That happens.
Nobody's perfect.
So,
like, you know, this was not my favorite of the three. Maybe it's because I have nostalgia for the cartoon. But I didn't, like, hate it. I thought it was okay. I found it entertaining. And I feel like the show probably could have, you know, it's hard to say why the show, if I had to like guess why the show was canceled, you know, was it because it was too awkward or it was just a little bit too much of a crazy, what am I trying to say? Too much of a crazy premise, like these superheroes in a sitcom. I don't know. Maybe it was just before its time or something.
Oh, a comment on that, actually. I was reading up on why it got canceled, and the reason was actually kind of interesting to me in that it was run by Fox, and it got the Firefly treatment. Like, exactly. They put it in a time slot that they didn't think was like appropriate. The people who made it didn't think was appropriate. They promoted the show during the World Series, which the people who made it didn't think was appropriate.
Yeah, it's not quite your target audience.
Yeah. And then I think they also ran the episodes out of order.
Oh yeah, that'll kill almost any show.
Because I watched it through like some Hulu affiliate or something, and it was episode 3 on there, but elsewhere it's listed as 8, so that makes me think it wasn't run in the same order.
Hmm.
But it sounds like they had a lot of issues with Fox. Oh, and they had budget problems because it was really high budget to make it, and they were like, Fox screwed them over on the schedule too. They wanted it to go, like, way earlier, so they had to pay people a bunch of overtime to get it done significantly earlier. Yeah, I don't know. It was mostly Fox, it sounds like.
It sounds... Okay. I can see all of those excuses, but I still think that they're mostly just excuses. I think David was right when he said that this was before its time. Because this came out in... When was this episode aired? 2002? Which is clearly before the superhero craze that we're in right now.
I think at least to the point where we are, because I think we probably had X-Men by then, right?
Yeah, I think we had X-Men, maybe Spider-Man, I want to say. And on TV you would have had Smallville. But The tone of those, like, it's X-Men and Spider-Man are just the very beginning of what happens with Marvel, to the point that those aren't even Marvel properties in terms of distribution for the films. This is very, very early compared to where we are right now. Like, I think Arrow and Flash are clear progressions of the television superhero genre from Smallville, and they're both clearly much better shows. And all of the Marvel Studios movies are clearly much better than those original X-Men and Spider-Man, especially the sequels. Oh god, especially the sequels. But I think something like this, not necessarily this level of a satirical sitcom kind of a thing, but definitely I think a funny superhero thing would do really well. Something kind of like Guardians of the Galaxy, honestly. Like, if you had a Guardians of the Galaxy TV show, you would have a lot of similar scenes to this show. In that show, I think you would. Like, I could see Star-Lord arguing with a toilet.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have... Or Drax. Even in the movie, they had a wacky adventure in the jail, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, half of the stuff that happens in this, aside from the gay subplot, I think most of the shticky kind of things would work with the Guardians of the Galaxy or Justice League International show. Like, it would be no problem, and it would have an awesome audience. I definitely think you're right about being before its time.
Yeah, now that you point that out, like, I think that's absolutely correct, too. Definitely.
Also, if they weren't so damn awkward, just like, it's the level of satire that I think most people can't connect with. Like the idea of Batman Whale. Well, Batman Whale would connect, but I think like the moth and the tick, like the idea of these, like the level of lameness of the superheroes, I think is a level that's more appreciated by people who are familiar with comics. Like the idea that, of course, there's a superhero for every, like, creature and insect. Of course there's a superhero representation. Like that kind of saturation that's getting mocked by this show is a saturation that I don't think popular culture has reached yet.
No, certainly not. And I think if they get to that point, like in Marvel, probably would not be good for the genre.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, you've reached critical mass and it's downhill. But I'll say, like, my wife is a recently converted nerd within the last couple of years. And she's super into the superhero stuff. Like, she's addicted to Flash and still really enjoys Arrow. And I think of this week, last week, and the comic book for The Tick, this is the one she would get the comic book in jokes the most. Or she would find this maybe the most entertaining. The cartoon is entertaining in its own right, but this feels like a better executed satire of where we are today. Which is why I went with it before its time. I don't know. I'm figuring this out as I'm talking.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's hard to say. I don't know. I mean, the show was weird.
Yes.
So, here's a question. Do you think now could be an appropriate time for this show?
Yeah, tone it back a bit, though.
Because apparently now is the time for this show. Patrick Warburton actually announced that they're doing a reboot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he announced it, I think, this March, and they're just waiting for the final go-ahead from Amazon. So it's going to be an Amazon original.
Man, we were timely and we didn't even know it.
Yep.
That'll be interesting to see then. Especially as an Amazon original, because then they'll have a lot more creative freedom. Ostensibly.
Yeah, and it sounds like they're actually doing it with, like, the same cast and the same creators, so that really makes me wonder, like, are they going to change the tone at all? Are they going to keep it the exact same? You know, like, I wonder if they looked at how the previous run went and decided to make any changes based on that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in terms of getting the cast back together, I mean, most of these people, the only person who had their career take off a little bit was Batman Whale. And even then,
Patrick Warburton,
I think it'd be
stuff.
Pretty easy to get back. Yeah, but he's not so in demand that it would preclude him from doing this. You know? I think.
Yeah. Well, what's Nestor Carbonell been in recently? No offense to him.
Just Lost. Which is
that
over.
That hasn't been on the air for like 5 years.
Yeah. So you're fine. Yeah, you could totally do this. I'm actually kind of excited to see that now. I probably will go back and watch more of these original ones before that comes out. I mean, because I've got Amazon Prime already. What the hell? Might as well try one or two.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if they'll start all over.
I mean, it's not like there's some, like they're rebooting the timeline or universe, right? It's not, the Tick just kind of exists, and things happen to him. So they wouldn't even really need to, like, pick up from where they left off. They could just have adventures.
Yeah. And like we've been saying all along, you don't even need an origin episode for the Tick. I mean, no, it doesn't matter. His origin doesn't matter. You don't need that beginning of the Tick episode. Maybe him breaking out of the insane asylum and meeting Arthur. But other than that, that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Yep. So.
So did you think Patrick Warburton made a good Tick?
Dude, yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, that scene in the diner was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that scene was awkward because the actresses for the mother and the sister were not so good, but Patrick Warburton was, like, perfect in that scene. Like, he's perfect in a lot of this. Just, like, spot on as the Tick.
Oh, my God. Something just came to mind from that scene. And do you guys remember Married with Children?
Yes.
Yes.
The next door neighbor, Marcy Darcy, like the crazy feminazi. Do you remember? Dot reminds me of her. And I think that's what made that scene awkward for me. Because the whole time I was seeing her.
Nice. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, Patrick Warburton. That's the thing. Like, this is kind of the difficulty we've had with all three of these episodes of The Tick. It's satire. It's funny. It either hits your sense of humor or it doesn't. And you can kind of sit there and talk about why it does or why it doesn't. But I feel like there's kind of, I don't know. It's hard to break down these in a literary criticism kind of way.
Yeah, I know what you mean. The show is like kind of is what it is, you know. It's just hard to. It's hard to talk about. God, this is like a terrible episode.
We're pulling teeth here. Well, how about this? How about we rate it, and during your rating, you can rant as much as you like.
Sure.
Let's get the rating in. I'm going to go first, because I'm going to set the tone. I'm actually... I'm going to give this a 4, which feels way too high. But, you know, I'm looking at the pictures, and the Tick and his costume are perfectly awkward and weird, and even Arthur's costume is kind of cool in a weird way. And there's that scene where he's just standing there, and he's with his mom and his sister, and the Tick pushes the button so his wings flop out, and they're just like, Oh, God. There's just so many little moments in this that were done really, really well. And the only thing that had been annoying me this whole time was Batman Whale's, like, lazy costume. But I worked that out myself earlier this episode when we were talking about it. Like, I think Batman Whale is just kind of lazy, like... If a dude like me made a costume to become a superhero, I'd either buy it like on eBay like Arthur, or slap some random shit together with face paint like Batman Well. Those are kind of the two realistic options that most people would do. So, I mean, there's parts of this that were awkward and didn't land, but generally, even like as sitcoms go, I found this more entertaining than a lot of stuff that gets on television. So, yeah, I'm giving this a 4. Because every time the Tick is on the screen, it's funny and awkward. All right. Who's next?
I can go next. Right. I'm going to give this... Let's see. I'm going to give it a 3. I found the show entertaining. But it's not as entertaining as the cartoon was for me. There were definitely more... the jokes in the show were more... geared towards adults, and I don't mean like they're jokes about adult situations, but like, do kids care about jokes about fondue? No, I don't think so.
No.
Or do kids even know what like a fondue is?
Probably not.
But you know, the show was still funny. Maybe this wasn't the strongest episode. I don't know. I haven't watched any of the other ones, but I do want to go back and watch the other 8. I mean, there's only 9 episodes. Yeah, so.
It won't take you too long. They're all only 20 minutes.
But if you're a fan of the Tick, I mean, here's more Tick, you know? So watch it.
Yeah.
So at 3. It was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Okay. Jen?
I'm going to give this a 2.5, which is still average because... Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not that I disliked it. I just don't get sitcoms. And I know a lot of people love sitcoms. So I feel like my opinion here is probably not going to be representative of, like, I don't know, people who've watched the show. But I don't know. Like, I just don't feel like The Tick is something that needs situational comedy, because the whole point is weird situations. Like, it's supposed to be off the wall and non sequitur. But I do think it was well done. I did laugh. I can't fault the show. I just have enough, like, displeasure with the genre that I couldn't get into it. Like, I actually paused a couple times so that I could cringe. And I was just like, oh, I need a break from this. So I don't know if I can watch the rest. I probably won't. But I do love the cartoon, and I think that this carried the spirit of the cartoon and the comic very nicely. I think that they chose the actors for it really well.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Warburton was spot on, and Arthur was, like, I didn't even think that you could translate Arthur into live action and make it work, but it was really good. He was just, like, the perfect combination of, like, kind of testy and kind of pudgy, and that worked really well. So, I don't know, like, I think that they did something really well, but I couldn't like it. So, average, 2.5.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we got some time for some trivia. You guys want to do that?
Okay.
Trivia.
Trivia.
This week, David can ask first.
All right. This question is for Jen. Is that correct?
Yes, yep.
It's for Jen. All right, Jen, your category is DC Comics Doctors.
Oh, God.
So all the characters in their name have Doctor.
Okay. Well, I made a promise to myself and the world that I would always bet 5 points.
All right.
So that's what's happening.
Okay. So you're going to do 5 points? Okay, so here's your question. It says, of the following four choices, who is the one that actually has a medical degree? So your choices are Dr. Midnight, Dr. Manhattan, Dr. Drake, or Dr. Destiny.
Man, I don't know. Oh,
I know this one. I know it's so hard.
Oh.
You couldn't ask me this one, Dave?
No. Because I don't want to give you free points, Andy. Because I know that this is one of your favorite characters.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't think it's Dr. Manhattan. So what were my other choices?
So your choices are Dr. Midnight, Dr. Manhattan, Dr. Drake, and Dr. Destiny.
Who the hell was Dr. Drake? I don't remember.
Yeah,
Dr.
I don't
Drake.
Know who that is.
He's, you know, that singer. A rapper.
Oh. What? Really?
No, I don't know.
It's Dr. Dre with an extra letter.
Yeah, I was like, wait, there's Drake and Dr. Dre, and they're not the same person.
Well, when those two do the fusion technique, they make Dr. Drake.
Fusion? Yeah. Huh. Sorry, couldn't not. So Dr. Destiny or... Oh, sorry, who's the final doctor?
Dr. Midnight.
Dr. Midnight. I'm going to go with Dr. Midnight. Just guess. Final answer.
Final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
What the fuck?
It is Dr. Midnight.
It really is. From the Justice Society of America.
Correct. He's blind. Except at night or something.
Yeah, or something.
And wait, you said he's blind?
Yeah.
Or one of the, there's been like three Dr. Midnights, and at least one of them was blind at some point.
And he's a medical doctor.
Yep. And you could, like... he could easily be mistaken for Robin. His costumes are the same color.
Yeah.
And he even has an owl sidekick.
Yeah, he does. It's
but yes, he actually has a medical degree. So, congratulations, Jen. You just earned yourself 5 points.
Woohoo!
Good guessing.
That was random. Thank you.
All right, Jen, your turn.
Okay. So, Andy, this is a question on Mass Effect.
Ooh. Oh, it's been a while since I've
played a Mass Effect comic, so that counts.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've played, and I haven't finished 2. Fuck it. 5.
Okay. So.
I'm going to regret that.
Dr. Liara Tassoni.
Oh, hey.
Is a member of a species that lives a very fucking long time. How old is she? Is she 508? Is she 1,000?
Are you making up numbers right now?
I'm making up numbers, man. I'm so on point. Is she 257 or is she 106?
Okay. So she's an Asari. Asari do live a long time. She's considered to be young for an Asari. Oh, Samara was supposed to be old. How old was Samara? If I could remember how old another Asari was and their age relative to Liara.
Not telling.
Is this the character that wears the helmet?
Huh?
Or is it the other?
No, that's Tali.
Yeah, okay. That's Tali.
This is the one Andy bought a freaking statue of.
I know.
I played like the first 45 minutes of Mass Effect 1, so...
Oh,
I'm glad
yeah.
I didn't get this question, because I would have been like, who is that character?
I wouldn't have made up a bullshit question for you unless I thought you might know it.
I'm going to go with a 508.
Oh, is that your final answer? I can't believe I just gave that away. I'm sorry.
It sounds like it should not be my final answer.
Too late.
I lost 5 points.
It's 106.
No!
I'm sorry, I've been drinking.
No, I had, cause, okay. Yeah. No, that does make more sense. Cause they're not that old.
Samara's like 900, I think.
Yeah. That was my thing, cause I know the older ones are like up near 1,000, and I know that they're supposed to be like, stay on their home world or in their home territory for a long time for training and education and all of that. So I was thinking like, but that'd be like midlife. That'd be like 40. And she's supposed to be young.
Yeah, she's like a baby.
Basically. Yeah, all right. Let my waifu down. All right. My turn. David, your topic is The Tick, live action series, season 1, episode 8, Arthur Interrupted.
Oh, man, let's go with 5 points.
Okay.
Let's keep it going.
Keep it going. What was the name of the mother? Was it Ethel? B, Barbara, or those are the only things I can think of.
Wait, so the choices are Ethel, B, and Barbara?
Yes.
Jeez. I'm going to go with B because that's also an insect, kind of, and I have no fucking clue. So 5 points on B.
And you fucking got it right, you son of a
bam!
Bitch.
Bam!
All right.
I do not even remember that being mentioned in the show.
It was. I don't even actually know if it was. I looked it up in the credits, so I'm going to hope that it was.
See, like, I was all queued up, like, to think of, like... Well, so the character Francis, who ran the superhero rehabilitation program, is an actor named Dave Foley,
mm-hmm.
who is from Kids in the Hall.
Yes!
Which
I remember him.
I love that show so much. It's so funny. And so I was, like, I, like, zeroed in on him when he appeared in the show. And so I kind of forgot everything else that happened. Although it's pretty funny when Tick got the breakfast that was shaped like Arthur.
That's true. Oh, that was neat. Okay. Let's get the scores.
Jen, 6. David, 3. Andy, -7.
Jen is fucking rocking this.
Not intentionally.
This whole bet 5 thing is totally working out in your favor.
I feel like, I will say, like, I feel like it's become far more exciting since we all started betting, like, high stakes.
Yeah, I need to be smarter. I need to think things out better. I should have known that one. Anyway, that wraps up our Tick series. Hooray!
Yay!
So next week we're going to start a new series. I'm calling it After Avatar. I don't know why, I just am.
Aftatar?
Huh?
Nothing.
Avatar the Last Airbender, not Avatar.
No, I said Aftatar.
Aftatar? Yeah, Aftatar. So,
wait, isn't After Avatar that other show?
Is there a show?
What?
Yeah. That show with the girl.
Korra. Legend of Korra?
Yeah. That's After Avatar.
That is After Avatar.
I mean, technically, yes.
So we're going to read the 3 comics that cover the span between those two shows. Between Avatar the Last Airbender and Avatar Legend of Korra. So the first one is, which is next week, will be The Promise. Then after that is The Search, and then The Rift. And all three of these were three-issue graphic novel runs, and all three were written by Gene Luen Yang, who wrote one of our favorite comics of all time for the show. He wrote Boxers and Saints.
Yeah.
And he also wrote these. So I'm really excited about these because, A, I love Avatar The Last Airbender and Korra. I love them both intensely.
You're welcome, Andy.
Yeah, that is thanks to you. And so I'm really excited for all of these because it's a great, great writer, great world, great everything. I'm super psyched. That starts next week, The Promise.
Yep.
Yeah. Until then, everybody. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.